know this is a familiar story to a lot of us, but we want to make sure that we don't just go through the motions on Christmas and that we actually take time to explore. This is why we believe what we believe. This is why we celebrate. This is why we take time. And today we are going on another part of the Advent journey, and we are asking the question, why peace? Why peace? Why is peace a part of the Advent story? Why is peace a part of the Christmas story? And so when we look at that concept, it becomes a little bit murky. It becomes a little bit difficult because we realize Jesus came to bring peace. But yet when you look at the world around us, it doesn't always feel like there's a lot of peace. And a matter of fact, you look at this Christmas time and there's different things going on, and maybe you have things getting ready for your Christmas celebration. It doesn't feel like a lot of peace. There's a lot of different moving parts that you kind of wish would slow down a little bit. And we don't always experience peace. And throughout history, we have seen times where it's Christmas and yet there's war. Yet there's times of violence, and there's times of when it doesn't feel like peace has come to rule and reign among us. But it's interesting how Christmas can have an effect. Even in places where it doesn't seem like it would, there's ways in which Christmas can have effect. Matter of fact, in 1914, we were in the middle of what was then deemed the Great War. The war to end all wars, World War I. Obviously, it wasn't the war to end all wars because we decided to repeat it. It was so much fun. But World War I had broken out in 1914. And an interesting thing happened on Christmas Day, 1914. The battle lines were drawn, the trenches were dug. There was all of these combatants on either side of the no man zone. But there were reports that during that day, on Christmas Day, some German soldiers came out kind of waving white flags. And obviously the Allied forces were a little bit nervous, like what is exactly going on? But they ended up coming out of their foxholes and their trenches. And what ended up transpiring, history is a little bit in awe, that the German soldiers actually came over and brought gifts to the people on the enemy line. And the other people decided to bring out gifts. And so, like, for one brief moment, in the middle of a great and terrible war, there was peace. History.com actually even records that there was a soccer game on one of the battlefields that broke out between the two sides. And so there's just something powerful about Christmas and its ability to bring peace, even when the situation may not be the most peaceful of situations. And so today, we're going to take this story a little bit farther and hopefully understand why peace is a part of the Christmas story. And I'm excited to announce we finally get to, I guess, the most exciting part of the story. We get to read about Jesus, Emmanuel, coming to be with us. And so if you wouldn't mind standing with me today for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be reading today out of the New Living Translation. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And this is how it reads. At the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, And he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there is no room, there's no lodging available for them. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that as we continue this study, why we celebrate Christmas, that it couldn't be said of a single person in this room or a single person listening online that there was no room for you in our lives, in our hearts. I pray that as we take time today to realize that you came to bring peace, that we would take time to examine our hearts, examine our lives, and see if we've allowed the peace of God to have its proper place in us. God, I pray that your word would bring out the light, the truth, the power of the peace that was offered through Jesus 2,000 years ago and still rings out today. That we'd realize this Prince of Peace has come to rule in our hearts and our lives. And that if we will give him space, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of turmoil, we can still find peace. I pray that that truth would permeate our service, it would permeate our lives, and that this Christmas season we could offer peace where there seems to be no peace. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Before you see it, why don't you turn to one or two people and just tell them Merry Christmas. Well, I can't really move past the scripture. It's interesting. I mean, I wasn't really planning on sharing this part of it, but every time I see that line, and they laid him in a manger, I can't help but remember how C.S. Lewis quipped in one of his books that one time in our history, a manger contained something that was bigger than the entire world. And so we've been looking for here the last few weeks at why Christmas, and we now finally get to the big part of the why. That Jesus came to be with us, that Jesus came to be born and to experience life among humanity. And so as we're looking at that, we're looking at this idea of peace, that he came to bring peace. And we ask that question, why? Why is peace a part of the story? Why is peace something we celebrate during Christmas? And when we talk about peace, what kind of peace are we really talking about? Because peace for me might not mean the same thing as peace for you. Or peace for you might not mean the same thing as peace for someone on the other side of the world. What kind of peace are we really celebrating when we talk about Christmas? There's two types of peace that I want to look at. First, that I'm not sure that necessarily they are the full expression of what peace is. They're things that we hope for. They're things that we hope that we'll experience when we talk about peace. But it may not be the fullness of what Jesus came to offer. So the first thing I kind of want to take a look at is this idea that we hear often called world peace. World peace. It is what Jesus came to offer, what we would call world peace. I mean, when you think about the classic line of any beauty pageant, you know, if you could change one thing about society, what would you change? Oh, I want world peace, right? I mean, that's if you want to win points, that's what you got to throw out there. I mean, you can say a lot of stuff, but world peace has to find its way into the answer. I mean, that's kind of the patent answer. I mean, you know, if you could have one thing, oh, I'd want world peace and a big screen TV. You know, and but as long as you throw world peace in there, you seem like a very, you know, humble and world-minded person, that you care about the goodwill of everyone. But it's interesting, when Jesus came into the world, he didn't necessarily bring that kind of peace. It still hasn't really been experienced in our time. There's always been wars and rumors of wars from the time of Christ to today and even before. Actually, even when he entered in, we hear whisperings and murmurings of wars. I mean, we look at verse 1. It says that the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus. Why was he the Roman Emperor? Because of war. What was the whole point that the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah? They were hoping that he would overthrow Rome. It was as much a political issue as it was a salvation issue for them. Salvation to them had a lot more to do with getting Rome off of their territory as it did looking for some kind of peace for themselves, some kind of freedom from their own sins. And so Jesus enters into this picture. You know, when we look at Luke, I appreciate that he puts stuff in here talking about when Augustus did this particular census, that he took this during this time, during the reign of Quirinius, and when all these different things, it helps us to realize this was not just a fictitious story. It was set in real time. There were real things going on. There were real power plays in place during the time that Jesus was born into. And all you have to do is look back and see that there was wars leading up all the way into Christ coming into the world. And there were wars that continued well after. And so Jesus came, and when we look at this concept of Advent, we realize that Advent really just means that people were preparing their hearts for the coming of Jesus. That's what Advent is. It's about the coming, the appearing of something. And we celebrate Advent because we remember the people who are waiting for the appearing of the Messiah. And it's also supposed to be a challenge for us to be waiting for when Jesus will come back again. And we do believe that on that day, he will bring in peace. That when Jesus returns, there will be a wiping away of every tear. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be peace. A far-ranging peace. That wars will end. That death and suffering will be put to rest. But it's not what we experience now. It's not what we see in the world. And so, while it makes for a good answer when you're trying to sound really kind of, I care about what's happening in the world, to say, well, I want world peace. And trust me, I do too. I don't know if that's the peace we need to be seeking after most adamantly. That we need to realize that when Jesus came to bring peace, it was something more profound than just an end to wars. That it was something deeper and something that had more far-reaching implications. Praise God that someday we will experience world peace. And hopefully we get to experience a little bit more on this side of heaven than we have experienced it in the past. But I'm not putting my hope in the day that wars will end by our own ingenuity. I'm still putting my hope in this child who was born in a manger. There's another part of that too that I believe is a little bit deeper, that even though Jesus came to bring about world peace eventually, I think it's even deeper than the concept of inner peace. That we're not just going after inner peace. I mean, obviously if you're a Kung Fu Panda, that's what you're really going after, right? You're going, inner peace, inner peace. You know, that's, that, you know, somehow if you chant that long enough, or you go through enough suffering, or you just are lucky enough to get hit by a goat. I think that's what he got hit. I don't remember. I haven't watched Kung Fu Panda for a while, but I mean, there's all these different ways that people will try to tell you to get inner peace. There's all these different ways, and some of them are great. I mean, I'm all for sitting back on a beach and relaxing and letting warm, you know, air wash over me as I sit on this sun-baked sand. I mean, that sounds amazing, especially right now in Wisconsin. That just sounds wonderful. Maybe you got a ticket to Florida, I'll take it. You know, but the truth is, in this life, there's going to be difficulties. In this life, there's going to be things that are going to come up. And they're not always going to promote that inner peace. I mean, even the parents of Jesus didn't get to experience that. I mean, let's take a quick look at verse 5 again. Talking about Joseph, it said he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. Let's stop and consider what this is saying. It's saying that Joseph had to take a 90-mile trip, not on bus, not on an airplane, maybe even not even on a donkey, even though that makes for a really good picture on our Christmas cards. But we don't know exactly how they got from Nazareth to Galilee, or from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But it probably wasn't an easy journey. And if everyone was traveling, that probably meant there was a higher risk of bandits, higher risk of being attacked along the way. And so it was bad enough to have to go 90 miles just to go register for a census. On top of it, it probably meant he had to leave his business behind. There were things that had to be put on hold just so he could make the trip. On top of that, he's bringing a pregnant wife who is just about to give birth. I went hunting a few years back in Montana, and for some reason, the guy that I went hunting with decided that his wife still needed to fill her tag too, and she was 9 months pregnant. And at one point, we are in the Jeep, and I got my deer, we're throwing it in the back, and we were trying to get away, and we got stuck in the mud. And so, me and Les, we're sitting there, we're pushing on this thing, trying to get this thing out of the mud, and, you know, and Mandy, she's sitting there putting the gas on, trying to get it to move, and, I mean, she's rubbing her belly, she's like, well, it could be worse. I'm like, please don't say that. Please don't say that. She got out, we all got out, she gave birth a couple days later. So we were fine. But can you imagine? You're having to take this trip, and you have to take your, and it's not even really his wife, he's engaged to her. This pregnant woman he's got to bring with because of the census. And then we read a little bit later, when they get there, they lost their reservation at the inn. Mary and Joseph? No, I'm sorry. I see where you might have had your name here, but they offered us a little. I don't know how they lost out on having room there. But their lives didn't really experience the inner peace you would expect from the people who would be the parents of the Son of God. And you can follow it through to the rest of their days. It was never really all that easy. I mean, they got to watch Jesus be raised. They got to live under the whisperings and the wonderings of, was this really God? Was this really a virgin birth. Yeah, right. I mean, they were humble people from a humble village. Why would anyone believe that? And then Mary got to watch as her son was criticized and attacked and eventually killed. Later, she got to be at a front row seat as the church that he started went through turmoil and went through persecution. I mean, this idea that Jesus came just to give inner peace, that make our lives comfortable and make it so that we don't feel the pangs of hunger. We don't go through the difficulties of seeing people we love go through death or disease. This idea that Jesus came simply to make life okay, I think is a shallow reflection of the peace that Jesus came to offer us. It's so much more than inner peace. It's so much more than world peace. You see, I think peace is a part of the concept of Christmas because I think peace is the hardest thing for us to grab a hold of. For the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at different concepts of Advent. I think all of us have a sense of hope in our life. It's hard to get out of bed if you don't have hope, right? I mean, every day you're getting up hoping it's going to be a good day. Otherwise, you just pull the sheets over your head and try to sleep a little bit longer. You know, we all get up with a little bit of hope in our lives. I mean, you're sitting on a chair because you're hoping it's going to hold you up. You get into a car because you're hoping the other people on the road are going to be smart when they're driving in Wisconsin winters. I mean, there's hope all around us. I pray that all of you have a little bit of love in your life too. And that all of us understand that concept, even if it's from a worldly standpoint of what love is. And I pray that all of us have had experiences of joy. But it's interesting. Peace is something that it's elusive. Peace is something that if you chase after it outside of Jesus, it feels like you never catch it. That yeah, you can go through those moments where you're at peace for a second or two until the next Facebook buzz comes up. Or until you get that phone call, or until you start thinking about what that person said to you at the office. And then all of a sudden, these things start swirling. That's why I think this concept of peace is so important. That's why it's so important we take it to the right person, that we go to Jesus, because he came to bring a perfect peace. He came to demonstrate what it is to live at peace with God and to offer that peace to us. He is the full expression of a peace child. He is the peace child. And when I say that, it's hard for me not to, you know, try to think about, you know, a 70s person, you know, holding up fingers, peace, you know, and, you know, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about peace child here. Because we see Jesus came to be the fulfillment of peace. In verse 7, Luke tells us, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room available for them in the inn. This child was the Prince of Peace, and he was placed in a manger so that he'd be accessible to all of us. He was placed there so that we could have access to the peace that God was providing. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story, the book, Peace Child, by Don Richardson. It's a story, a real life story of Don and Carol Richardson, who, they were missionaries. They were from Canada. They were in a meeting at Bible college where somebody just put out this burning question, who is going to take the gospel to the people of New Guinea. And so, with a newborn son of their own, they decided to risk their lives and risk the life of their son. And they went to New Guinea and worked among the Sawi people. And they tried as best they could to share with these tribal people, these primitive people by our standards. He tried to share with them the truth of the gospel, and he had multiple opportunities. But something very weird happened. When he started telling the story of Jesus, what he found out was all of them started idolizing Judas. Every time they talk about Judas, they would get excited. And then he found out something very weird about their culture. They worshipped treachery. As a matter of fact, they had a term, and I can't remember the exact phraseology of the term, but it simply meant to fatten with friendship. In other words, they believed in basically tricking somebody into thinking that you are their friend until a later date when you can kill them. And that's what their whole society was built on, this treachery. So there was always this idea that anybody who's trying to be a friend to you might be actually getting ready to stab you in the back. Now, I know those of you who work in corporate America don't understand that at all. But it was the world that these people knew. It's the world that these people lived in. And so, trying to talk to them about Jesus, they thought Jesus was the weak one. They thought Jesus was the one who was being fattened up. And so they glorified Judas, and they said, well, Jesus was just foolish enough to go along with it. And really, they were at the end of their rope going, how do we talk to these people when treachery is their language? How do we talk to these people when all they know is killing and deceit and evil? And at the time that they were going through all of this, there were wars going on between other tribes. And God, through his mercy, gave them the opportunity to experience something unique about their culture. Because, as I mentioned, tribes would fight against tribes, and tribes would try to befriend each other just to trick each other. I mean, it was going all throughout that area. But then they noticed that there was a tribe, and they were trying to have peace with each other, and they knew there was no way that they could win the war against the other tribe. And so one of the men went and grabbed his newborn son and took it to the other tribe and asked them to raise him for him. It was a ceremony called the Peace Child Ceremony. And the idea was that if someone would give their son to the other tribe, as long as that child lived, there had to be peace between those two tribes. It was an unbreakable covenant between the tribes. As long as that child lived, those tribes were continually connected. And in the book, Richardson says this. He says, among the Sawi, every demonstration of friendship was suspect except one. If a man would actually give his own son to his enemies, that man could be trusted. If a man would actually give his own son to his enemies, that man could be trusted. But what if God would do it? What if God would give his own son to his enemies? What would that do? I think we have the answer in Romans 5:10. Paul tells us, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. God was willing to send his son into humanity, he can be trusted. And the peace that he offers is bigger and deeper and more profound than world peace. It touches us in a way that inner peace could never touch us. Because peace is not in a circumstance, it's not in an absence of war, it's in the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's as we allow that peace child into our hearts and into our celebrations and into who we are as people, that's when we really begin to understand what peace is all about. Because it's apart from that we strive after things that make us feel better, that we strive after the comforts of this world. But when they fail us, we come up empty. But the beautiful part about accepting Jesus Christ as this peace child is that when we accept this gift, a peace comes in that the world cannot take away. A peace comes in that it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what CNN says. It doesn't matter what happens in our job or at our school. There's a peace. Paul says, that passes all understanding. And he promises us that peace will guard our hearts. It will guard our minds. That's why he can say with confidence that we should worry about nothing. Not because everything's going to go the way we want it to, but because the peace child still lives. Because it doesn't matter what we're going through, Jesus still lives. It doesn't matter what the doctors say, Jesus still lives. It doesn't matter the turmoil going on in your family, Jesus still lives. It doesn't matter what's going on with your job, Jesus still lives. And if he still lives, that peace is still there. And we need to make sure that our peace is rooted and grounded in the person of Jesus. That when we read this story that Mary laid her son in a manger, we need to realize that made him accessible to all of us. And that's the peace we need to long for. That is the peace that we need to strive after. And we need to realize that peace is here today. I don't know what you're going through personally. I don't know what's happening in the world around you. But I know this. Peace is available today. You can have peace by simply taking time today and receiving this gift of Jesus. Now I know most of us in this room, at one point or another, we have made a confession of faith in Jesus. But can I ask you today, has it brought peace? I'm not talking about world peace. I'm not saying, has it taken away all of the fear of wars and rumors of war? I'm not asking, has it made your life more comfortable? I'm asking, when you received Christ, have you allowed that to provide the peace that transcends all of those difficulties? And if the answer to that is no, I want to invite you to experience the peace of God fresh today. That just because we've said a prayer one time in our life to accept him as our Lord doesn't mean we live in the truth of the peace that was offered every day. And I realize we can let concerns get the best of us. And it's not that we're never to be concerned about anything. We're to be concerned about the things that are going on. But we can be concerned and still have a peace. We can be concerned and still have an ability to rest in. And so I'm encouraging you today, as we've been looking at this concept of peace, that you would take time in this busy Christmas season to remember this is why he came. This is why we call him the Prince of Peace. Because peace is available. Freedom from worry and anxiety is available through who Jesus is, through this peace child given to us from God. And we can experience more of it today if we open our hearts to it. So with that said, let me pray a prayer of peace over us, that we could go into the season experiencing more of it in our lives. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the peace child. We thank you for Jesus. But when we were still enemies, you gave your Son so that there could be peace between humanity and heaven, so that we could realize that our citizenship is no longer bound to this earth, but we have become pilgrims passing through. And I pray that as we realize that truth, that the peace you offered us, that it really would guard our hearts. It really would guard our minds. And when we recognize that a large amount of what we worry about will have no eternal significance, and even the things we do worry about that have eternal significance, you have them all in your hands. So I pray that we would be able today to experience a peace that maybe has eluded us. That we'd be able to experience a peace that we could not allow the things going around us to tell us whether we are going to have joy, to tell us whether we are going to have hope or love. That the world around us won't tell us whether we are going to be at peace. Because our peace is not found in things. Our peace is found in you, Jesus. And I pray that all of us would have a closer, more intimate relationship with you this Christmas season and every season after. That our lives would be marked by the peace of God. With no one looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, I don't want to just talk about peace. I want to offer it. And there might be some of you in this room that you've never accepted the peace of Jesus Christ in your life. There might be some of you watching online that you've never allowed Jesus to come in. You've never accepted that gift. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now, 2 days before Christmas, to unwrap the greatest gift ever offered. Or there might be some of you, you have made a commitment to follow Christ, but you are not living that way any longer, and you want to return. I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. Matter of fact, I invite you to pray it in your heart using language that is true to you, but that it would express your desire to see the peace of Jesus Christ to come into your life today. So again, with nobody looking around, nobody paying attention to what the person next to them is doing, I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer. You can pray it out loud if you want, or you can pray it in the quietness of your heart. But in this moment, just take time and tell Jesus that you are thankful that he came to be with us. Tell him that you're thankful that he offered you peace. Take a moment right now and just let God know that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Let him know that you're sorry for any way that you've hurt him, hurt others, or hurt yourself. And now in this moment, make a commitment. Tell him that you want to follow him all the days of your life. Prayed a prayer like that, I want to encourage you to tell somebody. The Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you prayed that prayer, you told God that you believe him. Now you need to confess him. And so, if you need to tell the person next to you, if you want to shoot us an email or a Facebook message, there's going to be some people up front here praying if you want to tell one of them. But let somebody know that you've made this decision so they can walk with you and help you to make sure you get the resources you need to follow Jesus in a way that brings the peace that he offers. For the rest of us, I want to encourage you, take peace with you this Christmas season. Allow the peace of God to help you to walk into Christmas with a joy and a love and a hope. Not because everything's going to be perfect, but because you worship the one who is. And his perfect peace can be on display in your life, and it could cause other people to want it. It could cause other people to be hungry for that peace. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we won't be having our Bible study this Wednesday, but I still want to encourage you, there's still time to be studying what God has done through Christmas. And so, if you haven't already, take some time and look through the book of Luke. I'd really encourage you, today or tomorrow, even if you have been doing this, take some time and revisit it. We need to firmly ground in our heart why we believe in Christmas, and allow that to be an anchor for our souls. So this is where we're going over the next couple of weeks. I know we only have a couple weeks left in the Why Christmas series, but let's end strong knowing that God wants to continue to reveal to us. And as you go to that, take time, and whether you come with us on Wednesday nights or whether you meet together with a small group of people, take time and ask these questions. What does Luke tell me about God? What does Luke tell me about mankind? How can I apply this to my life? And then get together with other people who are going to hold you accountable to it. Again, Wednesday nights, although not this Wednesday, but following Wednesdays, be a good time to do that. Or get together in a small group. There's a ladies' group starting up soon. Get together with other people who are going to help hold you accountable for what God's doing in your life. And then just a couple of keys that we can be looking at as we're looking at Luke. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the book of Luke? Where do we see angels appearing? And where do we see these concepts of hope, peace, love, and joy? So, with that, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over us. I also want to give opportunity for people who need some time of prayer. Mark, would you guys be willing to come up? Trent, would you be willing to come up and pray for people? These guys are just going to be up here. If you want prayer for anything, it doesn't have to be you prayed a prayer of salvation. It doesn't have to be that you're praying for peace. But if that's one of your prayers, these people would love to pray with you. Or maybe you're going through a financial difficulty and you need to see God step in, or you're going through something difficult physically and you need God to heal you. We believe that He still does that. That He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you can experience that peace today. And so, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of blessing over us as we end our service. And as I do, if you want somebody to pray with you, come find one of these. If you just need a moment in your seat to ponder the concept of peace, do that as well. Or if you're hungry for some cookies, we got those waiting for us in the foyer. But just step out quietly and allow those who are up here for prayer to have time for that. But let's, again, as I've said, go into this Christmas time proclaiming the peace of God and believing that that peace is going to guard us, it's going to protect us, and it's going to give us the ability to have joy, hope, and love even when the circumstances are bigger than that. Because God's love and God's peace and God's joy and God's hope can transcend anything if we will simply give room for Christ in our hearts today. So let me pray that over us as we are closing. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do thank you for the love that you have for each one of us. We do thank you for the hope that we have placed in you. And we thank you for the joy that we experience as we walk alongside of you. But today I pray that your peace would be even more real than it's ever been in our lives. That the peace that is offered to us through your Son would transform us. That we would be able to walk in victory, knowing that the peace child has been given to us. And that we can walk through this life free from the fears, free from the worries, free from the things that would hold us back. Because your Son still lives. So Jesus, I pray today that you would be with us and that you would bless us. Jesus, I pray that you would smile upon us and be gracious to us. And Jesus, I pray that we would walk in your favor and walk in your peace all the days of our lives. And we pray these things in your wonderful holy name. Amen.